genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take this week's poll. It's up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a simple multiple-choice question. I ask, would you rather have a daughter of easy virtue or a daughter with no friends at all? Go to my website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com, and cast your vote. We're starting to see a very clear pattern developing. So go on to brainstormingonline.com, cast your vote. I'll announce the winners on next Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests will discuss an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My first guest is the author of the Hungry Girls series of nutrition books. She's written The Ultimate Guide to Finding Guilt-Free Foods in the Grocery Store, and we'll discuss her latest book, Hungry Girl Supermarket Survival. My second guest presents controversial ideas on Iran-U.S. relations. He's the president of the National Iranian-American Council. We'll discuss his proposals in his book, A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. My third guest is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Car Charging Incorporated, a company dedicated to a clean, sustainable environment and an economically strong and independent America. We'll discuss electric cars and his company's manufacturing of up to 20 different models of car chargers. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Lisa Lillian is not a nutritionist. She's just hungry. Lisa describes herself as just an average female struggling with the same food issues most females struggle with every day. She considers herself a foodologist, not because of some kind of fancy degree, but because she's obsessed with food. Food is her passion, and it has been her lifelong obsession. She struggled with weight issues for most of her life, and aside from the occasional slice of molten chocolate cheesecake, she has finally got it under control. About 3 years ago, she decided to change her way of eating, and for a full year, she gave up flour, bread, pasta, and starches. And she said bye-bye to dry carbs and hello to 14 glasses of water a day, which resulted in a drop of 30 pounds and 3 sizes. Losing and maintaining weight is not a temporary change. It's a lifestyle change, but it doesn't mean life has to get less fun. Joining us from Southern California. Hi, Lisa. Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. Love your books. And the new one, Hungry Girl Supermarket Survival, is no exception. It's very colorful, very well done. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
I want to start on a more macro level, if we can, please, and just take a look at our society in general. You know, the past two decades, we were supposed to be eating healthier, exercising more, and all of that, and yet we've got a growing obesity epidemic. Why is that?
Well, I think that is due to many factors. Unfortunately, I think we are sort of a gluttonous society. We like more. We think more is better. So when we're served portions in restaurants, they're huge. And there's so much temptation. Like, if you look at the food that's on the shelves or at restaurants or wherever you go, it's just decadent, and it's hard to resist. And then couple that with the fact that people are just sitting on their butts more on their computers or watching TV and, you know, or texting on their smartphones. It's just, it's not a great combination.
No, it's not. I mean, when America's favorite phrase is supersize me, that's probably not a good thing for our national waistline, is it?
It's not. No, you're right.
Yeah. Now, in your book, The Supermarket Survival Guide, actually addresses one of the areas that is most concerning to me, and that is where we buy our food and the types of foods that we buy. Now, your book is not your typical grocery pocket guide with lots of lists, the brand names, foods, with the calorie count, the carb count, the fat count, all of that. It's a different type of guide altogether. How did you approach creating a Grocery Store guide that was uniquely Hungry Girl?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And while there is definitely a section that's list-like and there are calorie counts in here, I wanted to create a book that was more useful and more relatable. I mean, a lot of people are told you only have to shop the perimeter of the store and you have to buy natural or buy all organic. And, you know, it's not realistic for most people. So this book really breaks it down and helps you find products in every aisle of the store, including the center aisles, and then fun and unique, you know, ways to use these products. I think it's like, it's a really helpful book. I find myself picking it up and actually using it, even though I wrote it.
Well, I pick it up and I look at it because it's so colorful and obviously well-written, but I like the way that you've broken it down. And we'll get in more to that in just a moment. But I want to come back to something that you said about the grocery store layout, because I've heard it from you, I've heard it from many other guests as well, that the perimeter of the grocery store is where the most nutritious food is, and they draw you into the middle. That's where the high-margin, high-fat food is. Talk to me about that, and talk to me about food merchandising in general, because you've obviously done your homework on your supermarket survival guide.
Yeah, I mean, it is true that there's a lot of nutritious food on the perimeter of the store. So that's where the produce is, where the dairy is, that's where you find your fresh meats. And so absolutely, those are important places to shop. But the reality of where we are now is that we like convenience, and we like things that taste delicious, and we like, you know, a lot of decadent foods and snacks, and those are in the center aisles. Also canned foods. And it just because something's in a package doesn't mean that it can't be a smarter choice. And at the end of the day, you know, it's not like people are choosing between a big fat slab of cheesecake and an apple. There is definitely a lot of middle ground. And a lot of the snacks and things that you can find on the shelves are way better choices, and they're satisfying. And they help people stay on track for the long haul.
My guest is Lisa Lillian. She's the author of the book Hungry Girl Supermarket Survival Guide, Aisle by Aisle, HG Style. So let's dive into it, because the marketing within the grocery store has also got me confused and confounded. Help me to decipher between a lot of the terms that you see on food today and make some sense of it. For example, whole grain. You see whole grain all the time. What is whole grain? Why is that important to me?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's not even just about whole grain. Like, there are a lot of buzzwords, whether something says whole grain, or it says low fat, or fat free, or, you know, there are so many different confusing messages on packages. The most important thing that you can do is actually flip it around and read the label. And see if something, like a lot of times if you buy a whole grain, whole wheat bread, you might flip that package on and see that it has hardly any fiber at all. 0 grams of fiber. I mean, one maybe. But the key is you have to look for something that actually has a lot of fiber. So if you want, you see a bread that has 4 or 5 grams of fiber a slice, that's better than something that says whole wheat but has 0 grams of fiber. And I always just tell people to be aware and not believe the hype. I mean, it even down to like calorie counts on things. On sweetener packets, they're called zero-calorie sweetener pack.
Right.
Well, the FDA says if something has less than 5 calories a serving, then you can call it zero-calorie. So each sweetener packet of, let's say, you know, Splenda or Equal actually has 4 calories, not zero. And it's just little things like that that people should be educated about, and so they can make smarter choices on their own.
My guest is Lisa Lillian. And Lisa, you just pointed out something very interesting, the fact that no calorie can be as few as 5 or fewer calories. And in your answer, you talked about the thing that perhaps befuddles me the most, and that's this fat content. So differentiate between reduced fat, low fat, fat-free, and something that says 50% less fat, because I see that splashed all over all of the packages.
I mean, again, there are technical, you know, definitions of each of those things. So if something is considered low fat, it can only have a certain percentage of the calories coming from fat. And if something is called fat-free, it can still have trace amounts of fat. But my answer will probably be the same. You should flip it around and see if that product makes sense for you. I mean, if something has 2 grams of fat, but it only has 20 calories, that means that almost 100% of those calories are coming from fat. So I think it's important to pay attention to what percentage of whatever it is you're eating is coming from fat. And I think they say, you know, it should be 20% or less, you know, that come from fat. But again, I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian. I'm a person who knows a lot about this stuff. And I think I make reasonable choices and I make suggestions based on, you know, all of the information that I've gathered over the years.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. That's why we have you on the show. My guest is Lisa Lillian. So, Lisa, I'm not going to drill down on that anymore. I'm going to change subjects and talk about your book in some detail. First of all, I love the way that it's designed. Super colorful, super vibrant, and I like that. I also like the size. It's very convenient. I called it pocket size. You actually had a more appropriate term. You called it purse size, so I like that very much. And you break it down by the department in the grocery store. So you look at the dairy section, the cereal section, meat and seafoods. You talk a lot about meat substitutes, which I want to come back and talk about that in some detail. But you also talk about my devil area, which is the packaged snacks. So I find myself, I crave during certain parts of the day different types of snacks. Certain parts of the day I want salty snacks. Other parts of the day I want something that's crunchy. And then later in the day or towards the middle of the afternoon I want something sweet. Give me some ideas or some alternatives that can help me satisfy these cravings that I get on a regular basis without just going nuts on the Doritos or the junk food.
Well, I think the most important thing with any snack is to stick with things that are portion controlled. And I know my trigger foods are chips. Now, it doesn't mean I never eat a chip, but when I do reach for a chip, I'm going to go for something that's lower in calories and fat. My favorite are probably Pop chips. Those are popped, and they come in all kinds of flavors, and they come in pre-portioned 100-calorie packs. So I think that's key, because if I open a big bag of chips, even if it's fat-free, I'll eat 15 servings, and that is not a good idea for anyone. And the same goes for if you like cookies or ice cream. You know, don't go for a giant container of even a light or a fat-free ice cream, because you might eat two or three servings at a time. Stick with the frozen treats that are, you know, on a stick, or they come in individual cups, so you'll only eat one of those. There's something about the psychology of reaching for a snack that if you open one bag and it has 100 calories, there's a good chance you're not going to open the next one and the next one and the next one. But if you have a large bag, you might eat three or four servings at a time.
Well, it goes back to the whole supersize thing that we were talking about, our gluttonous society, where if I open up that bag of chips, and boy, I do love chips just like you, I mean, I would sit there and I'd eat the first quarter of the bag. Now, I know that that's probably 4, 5, maybe even 6 servings that I have just eaten, and yet I feel completely satisfied. If I were to just have eaten 4 or 5 chips, which is the recommended size, I'm not sure I would have felt quite as satisfied.
Well, I mean, another thing I like to do is find snacks that allow you to eat more than 4 or 5 in a serving. Like, there are chips where you can have, like, 20-something chips, you know. But, again, if you're the kind of person, like me, where if you eat chips and if you eat 5 or 10 or even 20 and you're not satisfied, I would say try to skip the chips. Because they're a trigger food, and they're going to make you not stop eating. And so why put yourself through that?
All right. My guest is Lisa Lillian. She's the Hungry Girl. She's just written the Hungry Girl Supermarket Survival Guide, aisle by aisle in HG style. Now, another area where I have to pat myself on the back, I'm pretty good. I drink a lot of water, but I know that's not always true. There are many, many people listening to the sound of our voice that love different beverages, including the colas and so forth. Give us some idea about beverages and how we can control not only our thirst but our cravings and yet be sensible about it as well.
Well, I think water is super important, and a lot of times people mistake thirst for hunger. So if you think you're hungry and then you have, you know, a few big glasses of water, then you realize, hey, I really wasn't hungry, I was thirsty. So water is important, and if you have trouble drinking water, I would say drink it at room temperature, because it's much easier to drink than very cold water. And then as far as beverages you see on the shelves at the market, a lot of things called water these days are just not water. If you read the calorie counts of clear liquids that are called, you know, this kind of water or that kind of water, there's, you know, sometimes 140 or 160 calories in a bottle, and that is something that I always warn people about. It's just not a great idea. And then as far as soda is concerned, look, I think sugary sodas are the worst. I think if you have a diet soda every now and then, it's just my opinion that it's not the end of the world, but you're definitely better off with water than anything else.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. My guest is Lisa Lillian. Now, Lisa, I want to talk about your media empire that you're building, because you've gone from a healthy eating email writer, which is where you started, to world famous and best-selling cookbook author in a period of time that was actually just less than 5 years. And outside of being a hard worker, what do you attribute your success?
Oh, that's a good question, but thank you. It is definitely about hard work, and I think it is about the brand itself being very relatable and the information being so important to so many people and delivered in a way that they can relate to and that really helps them on a very personal level and that makes people feel good about their choices. It's like I'm not very preachy in my daily emails or in the books. It's just about delivering fun, helpful information and letting people then take that information and make smarter decisions on their own.
Well, now you've branched out. You've also got a show on the Food Network, and our society has become much, much more obsessed with food and cooking shows and that kind of thing. And you've got your own cooking show. In what ways is your cooking show, is your career really a backlash against all of this food snobbery?
Yeah, well, it's funny because it's you see so many shows on TV where there's either gourmet chefs or people cooking with very high-fat foods or very specialized ingredients, and my show really is about what you find in your fridge or on the shelves at the supermarket and can throw together. I'm definitely not a gourmet chef. I'm more of a mad scientist in the kitchen, and I love that there's a place on TV for a show like that.
Well, I love it, the mad scientist approach, but let's not knock the gourmet cooks, because until just recently, Julia Child, who just passed away, lived up in Santa Barbara. That's the area that you're broadcasting into. Our guest is Lisa Lillian, author of the book, The Hungry Girl Supermarket Survival Guide, Aisle by Aisle. In HG style. Lisa, what do you want people to take away from reading your new book, Supermarket Survival?
I want people to feel good about their trips to the supermarket and hopefully let this book help guide them through those aisles, which could be confusing sometimes.
Well, I know they are for me, and I go through them each week with my wife, and I get more confused every time I go through. Lisa, if you've intrigued listeners and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would say they should go to hungrygirl.com, but that's hungry-girl.com, and they can sign up for daily emails and check out all of the past emails. They're all archived right there on that site.
Oh, that is wonderful. Lisa, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for returning to the show. We'll be talking to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.